Unit 9, Technological Inputs. Page 139, Unit 9, Technological Inputs. Irrigation, power, fertilizers, seeds, mechanization and PDS. 9.1, Objectives. 9.2, Introduction. 9.3, Irrigation and power. 9.4, Fertilizers. 9.5, Improved seeds. 9.6, Mechanization of agriculture. 9.7, Public distribution system. 9.8, Let us sum up. 9.9, Model questions. Page 140, 9.1, Objectives. By studying this unit, it is possible to know the importance of irrigation, the use of machines in agriculture, and the role of public distribution in India. 9.2, Introduction. Progress in agriculture depends on many factors. In the previous unit, we studied the institutional requirements necessary for agricultural development. In the present unit, it is necessary to consider technological requirements for the progress of agriculture. Irrigation, better seeds, fertilizers, use of mechanization, etc. have to be studied in this regard. 9.3, Irrigation. Water is essential to agricultural production. There are areas where rainfall is adequate and there are areas where rainfall is not adequate. Irrigation helps to cultivate land in all areas irrespective of rainfall. The purpose of irrigation is to provide water for cultivation where water is required and also to prevent floods in the rain-affected areas. Irrigation by providing water helps to grow more than one crop in a year. Also, there are certain food and cash crops such as rice and sugarcane which require abundant, regular and continuous supply of water. So, the production in agriculture depends largely on the availability of water. Irrigation potential in India has increased to 88 million hectares at the end of 1994-95. The progress of irrigation in India has been slow. Even the 9th plan gave importance to the irrigation sector. Page 141, Sources of Irrigation. Canal irrigation is given importance in India. Canal irrigated area was 16.9 million hectares at the end of the 8th 5-year plan. The relative importance has come down from 40% to 35%. Well irrigation, especially tube well irrigation, has considerably increased in India. Well irrigation accounts for 50% of total irrigation in India. In India, irrigation works are classified into major, medium and small irrigation works. Projects costing more than rupees 5 crores come under major irrigation. Irrigation works which cost between rupees 25 lakhs and rupees 5 crores are medium irrigation projects. Minor irrigation works cost less than rupees 25 lakh. Major irrigation are projects which have culturable command area more than 10,000 hectares. Medium irrigation projects have a command area varying between 2,000 and 10,000 hectares. Minor irrigation projects have a command area of less than 2,000 hectares. It is pointed out that in India, 34.5% of the cultivated area is irrigated. Government of India desires to utilize all available water resources by 2010. The government has prepared a national perspective for water resource development, which includes storage and interbasin transfer from surplus to deficit and drought-prone area. All the 5-year plans have given importance to irrigation. During the 8th plan, rupees 32,530 crores was spent and potential of 90 million hectares was created. The actual area, 80 million hectares, was irrigated. Thus, it can be pointed out that irrigation potential created over the years has not been fully utilized. The non-utilization of the created irrigation potential is mainly due to delay in the construction of field channels, drains and inland leveling. Farmers also lack willingness to use the created potential. The government has tried to lessen the gap between potential and actual use of irrigation by starting Command Area Development Program, CAD. CAD aims to maximize productivity in irrigation command areas through an integrated approach. It helps to construct field channels, drains and land leveling. It also takes up a rotational supply of water to ensure equitable and assured distribution to individual farm holding. CAD program becomes successful only if people participation increases. In the recent years, minor irrigation projects have assumed importance because they are not capital intensive. There is controversy regarding the utility of major irrigation projects in terms of economic and social costs. Interstate water disputes has added to this problem. The success of minor irrigation depends on private initiative. It also depends on the availability of electricity. The utilization of minor projects depends on rural electrification. Minor irrigation was also helpful to produce pulse and oil seeds, so they have become important. Irrigation facilities help agriculture to face new challenges. There is increasing reliance on irrigation. The strategy of intensive agricultural district program and high yielding variety program requires continuous supply of water. Multiple cropping can be attempted only if water is available. It is estimated that 114 million hectares of land is available for cultivation. Of this, only 90 million hectares are provided with irrigation. So there is a need to extend irrigation to about 25 million hectares. Page 142, Power. Electric power is a form of energy. It is essential for economic development. It also helps agriculture. When electricity is used in agriculture, the use becomes commercial. With the use of pump sets, the demand for power has increased in rural areas. Utilization of power in agriculture sector was 4% of the total power used in 1950-51. This percentage was 38% in 1995-96. About 21,000 irrigation pump sets were energized in 2001. It was estimated by the end of September 2001, about 5.08 lakh villages were going to be provided with electricity. There are three main sources of generation of electric power: thermal power, hydel power, and nuclear power. It is estimated that electricity from thermal source would increase to 90,600, hydro 31,460, and nuclear 3,100 megawatts in 2001-2002. Thermal power constitutes about 72% of the total electricity supply according to the 9th five-year plan.
Page number 143.
In India, there is chronic power shortage. The demand has increased more than the supply. The performance of the power sector has not been satisfactory. The generation of hydel power has been fluctuating year after year. The power generated mainly depends on the monsoon. The commissioning of new capacity has often considerably fallen short of targets. The plant load factor shows the operational efficiency is poor. The distribution loss of power is high. The power theft is an important problem in urban and in rural areas. Rural Electrical Corporation has been established. This corporation is helping rural electrification. Rural electrification has to be pursued because it helps to use pump sets and provides regular supply of water to agriculture. This improves agricultural production and productivity. The dependence of agriculture on monsoon gets lessened. Village electrification helps to increase employment in rural areas. Small and cottage industries situated in rural areas, by making use of power, improves productivity and production. It helps women to save time by helping them to complete the household chores fast. It also makes them to have more leisure than before. They can take up economic activities during their leisure hours. Rural electrification helps house rural people to improve their knowledge and helps to educate them. Government of India has attempted to extend irrigation facility. ANABARD has set up Rural Infrastructure Development Fund to assist the completion of minor irrigation projects. B. Accelerated Irrigation Benefit Scheme has been launched in 1996-97. Center is providing assistance under this scheme for completion of selected large irrigation and multipurpose projects. In addition to the non-utilization of the potential, there has been substantial losses due to silt deposits, evaporation and seepage, loss of water due to inadequate distribution channels to the farmers, fields and overflooding. The deficiency in this regard has been considered by the task force for special food grains production. It is felt that there is a need for an all-India coordinated program to promote double and multiple cropping and optimal use of water. The objective is to increase yield per hectare of the irrigated land. Page 144, 9.4, Fertilizers and Manures. Chemical fertilizers are used to increase productivity in agriculture. The use of fertilizers is necessary to augment production in agriculture. In India, the production of chemical fertilizers has increased. Nearly 11 million tons of fertilizers are produced in 1995-96, but in the same year, the consumption was 13,900 million tons. There was a gap between production and consumption, which was met by imports of fertilizers. Consumption of fertilizers in India per hectare was 70 kgs in 95-96. This was low compared to the consumption of fertilizers in South Korea, Netherlands, Belgium and other countries. In many parts, water supply is inadequate, which is hindered by the use of chemical fertilizers. Rain-fed area constitutes 70% of the cultivated areas and consumes 20% of the total fertilizers. The government is taking up measures to increase the consumption of fertilizers in these areas. Example, government has sanctioned a national project and development of fertilizer use in low consumption rain-fed areas in 60 identified districts in 16 states. The program includes field block demonstration, farmers training program, opening additional soil testing laboratories and additional retail outlets. Consumption of fertilizer is high during rabi crops because water supply is assured through irrigation. There has been a steep rise in fertilizer subsidies. Nearly rupees 10,000 crores were lost in the form of subsidies. The use of organic manure is increasing. Of late, farmyard manure and rural and urban compost are made use of. It is pointed out that one-third of cow dung is not collected. Another one-third is used as fuel by the villages. Increasing use of gobar gas plants help in making organic manure available to the cultivator. The use of organic manure reduces the dependence on chemical fertilizers. Page 145, 9.5, improved seeds. Seed quality is the basic and crucial input in agriculture. Farmers generally use seeds of very indifferent quality. At present, government has adopted a policy of production and distribution of quality seeds to the farmers. The success of this policy has gone a long way in making the country self-sufficient in food grain production. High-yielding varieties of rice, wheat, maize, jowar and bajra are introduced. There has been extensive use of these varieties of seeds in the country. The government is giving considerable attention to A. Research in evolving better seeds suitable to Indian conditions and B. Larger production and better distribution of quality seeds. C. Credit facilities to farmers to purchase good quality seeds and D. Expansion of irrigation, fertilizers and pesticides which are necessary for the efficient use of quality seeds. The government set up National Seeds Corporation and States Farms Corporation of India. They produce and supply quality seeds. There are private producers who multiply foundation seeds and certify quality seeds under the prescribed quality control arrangements. There are three stages in the seed production cycle. They are production of breeder seeds, the production of foundation seeds and the production and availability of seeds to farmers for use. It was estimated that 7 million tons of certified quality seeds was available in India in 1996-97. The central and state government has taken various steps to produce and distribute quality seeds in adequate quantities. The government has adopted a new policy of seed development under which the best seeds available anywhere in the world under open general license may be used. Page 146, 9.6, Mechanization of Agriculture. Agricultural mechanization refers to replacement of animal and human power by machinery. Mechanization of agriculture in the West has resulted in agricultural revolution, increased agricultural production and reduced costs. So it is felt that agricultural mechanization is going to help to increase production in agriculture in India as well. It is necessary to examine the case for mechanization of agriculture in India. Case for mechanization. Agriculture mechanization helps large-scale production. It saves time. Example, what a farmer with a pair of bullocks can plow in 10 days, a tractor can do in one day and far deeper too. Farm machinery has relieved man of much of the heavy work. Example, land reclamation, digging and carrying of earth, plowing are heavy jobs which becomes easy if done with the help of machinery. Farm machinery has led to large-scale production. Huge plots of land can be plowed, large crop can be harvested, huge amounts of produce can be taken to the market without loss of time if mechanization is introduced, output per acre and man can be increased, and unit cost can be reduced if machinery is introduced. In Western countries, the mechanization of agriculture helped to increase agricultural productivity. In USA, only 12% of the population depend on agriculture and produce surplus produce to be exported to other countries. As India also aims to increase production, it is argued that there is a good case for mechanization of agriculture. It is argued that there is considerable scope for mechanization in India. Example, tractors are very useful for extensive jungle and soil conservation operations. There is a good scope for pumping sets and electricity-operated tube wells. Electric motors and diesel engines can be adopted for cane crushing, oilseed crushing, etc. Page 147, Case Against Mechanization. The scope for mechanization is limited in India because size of land holding is small. Besides, these holdings are scattered all over the country. This argument does not hold much water because machines suitable for small farms have been developed and successfully used in Japan. Mechanization in India results in creating too much of surplus labor in agriculture. Millions of farmers will be thrown out of agriculture. The unemployed men have to be provided with alternative source of employment. It is difficult to provide employment outside agriculture. If mechanization of agriculture takes place, there will be a surplus of cattle population. Feeding the surplus cattle creates a huge burden. Farm machinery requires petrol, diesel and kerosene oil. Internal production of these is inadequate. India has to import the oils from other countries at a high price. Mechanization helps to increase the productivity of labor. It does not help to increase the productivity of land. It is necessary to increase the productivity of land, which is highly essential in India. Page 148, Correct Approach. Selective mechanization is the correct approach to be followed in India. Full-scale mechanization is not desirable. Machines suitable for small farms, cooperative farms, and state farms have to be introduced. Machines are necessary in reclamation of land, conservation of forest land, plowing of barren land, construction of wells in rocky areas, etc. It is necessary to pursue a policy of limited mechanization so that labor displacement effects are minimized. If we examine the progress of mechanization in India, the following trends are observed. Number 1. The mechanization in agriculture is limited to a small portion of cultivable land. Number 2. The process is confined to a few rich farmers. Small farmers are not affected by this process. This implies growing inequality in farm population. Number 3. The process of mechanization implies a shift in the techniques of production from labor-intensive to capital-intensive technique. Number 4. There is a dire need for rural electrification and need for mechanization for irrigation. Mechanization is confined to only a few states like Punjab and Haryana. Many other states have not made much headway. Page 149, 9.7, Public Distribution System. The production in agriculture has increased. It is said that there is self-sufficiency in food production in the country. India is not having food problem in the sense of inadequacy. Food problem exists in the normative sense. Millions of poor suffer from persistent hunger and malnutrition. It is pointed out that 38% of the population do not have minimum calorie requirements. Added to this, prices of food grains are increasing. The government, through its intervention, has tried to address the problem of providing minimum food requirements of the people. The public distribution system was taken up. Under public distribution system, the government resorts to levy purchase of a part of the marketable surplus with traders, millers and producers at procurement prices. Procurement price is fixed somewhere between the minimum support price and the open market price. The grain procured is used for distribution to the consumers through fair price shops and it is used for building buffer stocks. Under public distribution system, apart from distributing the food grains, edible oil, sugar and kerosene and cloth are sold. The most important items covered under PDS in India are rice, wheat, sugar and kerosene. Coarse grains are not very important under PDS. PDS in India covers the whole population of the country. On an average, one fair price shop covers a population of 2,000. The main agency providing food grains to the public distribution system is the Food Corporation of India. FCI purchases stocks, transports food grains to facilitate PDS. It helps the farmers to get remunerative prices for their produce and on the other hand, consumers get food grains from the central pool at uniform prices fixed by the government of India. The corporation has also been entrusted with the responsibility of maintaining the buffer stocks of food grains on behalf of the government. FCI has helped the procurement operation. It has helped the government to build up adequate buffer stocks. It has met the requirements of EDS. FCI has been responsible for reducing imports of food grains and saving valuable foreign exchange through procurement prices. FCI has arrested price declines to unremunerative levels. FCI has also helped to check the rising food prices. It has enabled the low-income groups to meet their food grain requirements. It has built up storage facilities. PDF has certain limitations. It has limited benefit to the poor. Rural poor depend on the open market for most of the commodities. Many studies conducted in this regard indicated that PDS has not reached the poor households. Example, a study conducted by the Bureau of Directorate of Economics and Statistics, Karnataka, revealed that only 13 paise out of every rupee spent on PDS reaches the poor. It does not reach the poor because cards are issued only to those households who have proper registered residential address. People without proper residential address are left out. There is regional disparity in the distribution of PDS benefits. Some states like West Bengal, Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, Kerala and Andhra Pradesh, Delhi benefited much from PDS. PDS was not adequately used in states like Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh. PDS has a bias towards urban areas. This bias was marked in 1960s and in the 70s. This has changed after 1980. Government of India in 1991 pointed out that while more than 75% of the fair price shops were in rural areas, the level of their effectiveness in terms of their actual supply of essential commodities in rural backward remote areas was limited. PDS has put a severe strain on the state exchequer. More than rupees 7,500 crores were lost to the exchequer in the form of food subsidy. Food subsidy consists of consumer subsidy and buffer stocks subsidy. Consumer subsidy arises because there is a difference between the price paid to the farmers and the price charged by the consumers and the price charged to the consumers. Procurement price is high and prices paid by consumers are low. This difference is met by the government in the form of subsidy. As the food grains distributed under PDS increased, subsidies also increased. Over the year, procurement prices also increased. Buffer stock subsidy refers to the reimbursement of the carrying costs on the buffer stock held by FCI on behalf of the government. This subsidy is influenced by the size of the buffer stock and the charges for various items such as storage, handling, interest on capital, administrative overheads and storage loss. Some economists have argued that PDS has resulted in price rise. The argument runs as follows. A large portion of the agricultural produce is procured and is taken away from the open market. The supply in the open market gets reduced. This pushes up the price. Speculation also results on account of declining supply. PDS does not meet all requirements of the people. People have to depend on open market to meet their partial requirements. There are leakages under PDS in the form of losses in the transport and storage and diversion to the open market. Sugar and edible oil are diverted to open markets from PDS. The limitations of PDS led to targeting PDS to the poor in rural and in urban areas. PDS is linked with employment guarantee scheme like Jawahar Rozgar Yojana. PDS is targeting the poor. It is necessary because subsidies are increasing. There is a growing feeling that subsidies should be given to the vulnerable group and not to all. So persons who need food subsidy have to be identified. Persons not belonging to poor have to be eliminated from PDS. These people have to be asked to surrender their ration cards. The target group must be scientifically identified. There is a system of targeting called commodity-based targeting. The commodity basket of PDS must contain coarse cereals. If coarse cereals and coarse rice and wheat are distributed under PDS, the non-poor opts out. It is also suggested to phase out edible oil and sugar from PDS. By doing this, only poor will be under PDS. The government can reduce subsidies. But the commodity targeting is not easy because coarse cereals are grown in dry areas and their production is subject to variations. Page 150. PDS has inefficiency because it is centralized in nature. The system has to be decentralized. Local level participatory organization must take up PDS. In 1996, United Front Government promised in their common minimum program that the targeted PDS program. In 1997, February, the new scheme was adopted and became operational. The essential features are as follows. Number one, states have to identify families below poverty line. People earning less than rupees 15,000 per annum. Number 2. BPL consumers get food grains at a very cheap price. Number 3. Superfine varieties of food grains are not provided to BPL consumers. Number 4. Above poverty line consumers are eligible to get fine and superfine variety of rice. Number 5. For BPL consumers, food grains are given under Jawahar Rozgar Yojana, an employment assurance scheme. The system has its own limitations. It is feared that people may be tempted to come under the category of below poverty line, that is BPL consumers, to take advantage of the substantial price differential in the price of food grains. People may bribe the staff of the regional car office to get the BPL ration card. Many shopkeepers may also succeed in diverting supplies meant for BPL consumers to the open market and sell grains at much higher prices prevailing there. So public distribution system in India needs to be implemented in all its earnestness. Page 151, 9.8, let us sum up. In this unit, we have discussed the use of technology and technological inputs. We have discussed their impact on productivity in agriculture. We have also studied public distribution system and its limitations. 9.10 questions. Question number 1. Examine the role of public distribution system in India. Question number 2. Point out the importance and achievement of irrigation facilities in India.